Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, it's so cool. We got Cat Grizz Round 2 taking place tomorrow in Bozeman, and it's not just any other Cat Grizz game. This one is the big one, the semifinal game to see who goes to the national championship. And frankly, tomorrow could be very well be the national championship game with NDSU knocked out of the equation early on in the playoffs. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Good to be with you here on this Freedom Friday. I mentioned the Cat Grizz game because the last Cat Grizz game, I actually got to go to the last Cat Grizz game, but my wife was already in Missoula, and I didn't want to have to take, you know, two vehicles to and from Missoula. So I actually hitchhiked down to Missoula along with former State Senator Keith Regeer out of Kalispell. And Keith, I tell you what, I had such a great time chatting with you the entire drive. But I don't even think we talked about this Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission. So it's good to have you on the radio now so we can talk about your new role as chairman of that.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana. Yeah, we've got Cat Grizz coming up, and it was a fun drive with you to Missoula. There wasn't a whole lot of dead air time on that trip, as I remember.
Yeah, it was, well, such a fun trip, such a fun conversation, talking Montana history and so much more. Of course, not only was he a state senator in the legislature, sure, and got two kids still serving in the state legislature as well, Senate President Matt Regeer and Representative Amy Regeer, but also was a history teacher, or a teacher, school teacher prior to that. So this Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission, this is something brand new created by the Montana legislature. With about, you know, a minute or so before we go to the first break, give us an overview of what the legislature was looking to do with this.
Well, we need to go back to 2024. There was a Senate Select Committee on the Judiciary looking at legislation that could improve the judiciary. And one of the bills that came out of that Select Committee was Montana Judicial Performance Evaluation System. And most of the bills from that Select Committee did not survive the legislature, but this is one that did. And the intent of that bill was Senate Bill 45, and it was to provide information to the people of Montana about the judge's performance. There's different ways we can talk about how we're going to judge that performance. But, you know, Aaron, as an elected official, I got a lot of calls at election time, people asking, I know about all these candidates, but judges, I don't know anything about them. Who should I vote for? How can I find out information about them? This judicial performance evaluation system, I think, is going to be a great way of getting information to the voters about the judges that are serving them in Montana.
That's great. It just makes sense as well. All right. Former State Senator Keith Regeer, the chairman of this commission. Hold that thought. More to follow right after this.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, look, this is the, well, let me just read from this report here from the Montana Television Network. I think this was a Jonathan Ambarian report. Earlier this month or late last month, shortly after the commission had their first meeting, judicial reform was a major topic during the Montana legislature's 2025 session. While a number of the proposed bills did not become law, one that did was Senate Bill 45, which created a new state commission to rate judges' performance. Former State Senator Keith Regeer, the chairman of that commission, yeah, you were talking about, you know, why the legislature created this new commission. And as you were describing it, I thought this is about giving we the people information, but it's also about having accountability in our judicial system here in Montana, and there's been questions on that front. It's also about improving efficiency in our court system, which is, as I understand, can be overwhelmed at times as well.
Yeah, precisely. And I would throw in there, too, letting judges know where they are weak and need improvement so that they can self-improve as well. You know, Aaron, we need to back up just a little bit. There is a Judicial Standards Commission, and we shouldn't confuse the Judicial Performance Evaluation System with that Judicial Standards Commission. Judicial Standards Commission was established in the Constitution, and that's where they handle complaints that people have about judges. And they get numerous complaints annually, and they deal with that. Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission is a little different, well, really quite different, in that we're evaluating their actual performance. And there's a lot of different things that we're going to be evaluating with the judges, like their commitment to the law, following the law, their decorum, how they treat jurors and lawyers and witnesses in the courtroom. So it's pretty comprehensive evaluation system that we're going to be implementing on the judges there.
Well, and it seems like the other big intent here of the legislators in covering these, you know, judicial reform bills during the session and covering elections is, you're right, the people of Montana, we get hardly any information about these judicial candidates or oftentimes these Supreme Court candidates, and yet the state of Montana will get flooded with out-of-state dark money from some of these left-wing mega donors that are propping up some of these people to get them across the finish line. And we've had a judicial system that's kind of been this good old boys system where you've got kind of the fox guarding the hen house. And So it seems like this commission is also a good way to just really just have some sort of an audit, some sort of a check on the judicial system here in Montana in that regard from a systematic viewpoint versus, like you say, yes, separate from individual complaints that would be handled by the judicial standards.
Right, Aaron. And, you know, judges run nonpartisan in Montana, so right there it creates a question mark in voters' minds where they are. And this commission that was set up is an 11-member commission, and we're supposed to be impartial, which we are. And let's see, there were appointed by the Senate president, one member. There's 11 members on the commission, one appointed by the Senate president, one by the Speaker of the House, one by the Senate Minority Leader, one by the House Minority Leader, four members by the Governor, three members by the Chief Justice to get the 11. So it's quite a diverse group that we have on this JPEC committee.
Yeah, that's great. And then I guess from a procedural standpoint, how do you gather the data? How do you gather the information? I understand there may even be a combination of, you know, in courtroom observation along with other data that would be collected as well.
Yeah, the Senate Bill 45 is really specific in how we go about getting information. We are to hire a third party vendor. So we're going to be looking at that. And there are several companies nationwide that do these kind of evaluations. And yes, we're going to be getting information from jurors, from defense lawyers, prosecution lawyers. We will be able to set up volunteer observers to go into a courtroom and just observe the conduct of the judge. We're also going to gather information from court staff, from the bailiffs, from the clerks, from all of those people as well. So it'll be pretty comprehensive information that we're going to be getting on the judge's performance.
And what have you kind of heard so far, even just anecdotally, are there a lot of problems in the judicial system in Montana? I remember seeing folks post on X last year like, hey, where are some of these judges? Where are some of these Supreme Court justices? It's business hours and the parking lot's empty.
Yeah, I would agree. some of them that their caseload gets built up, and they take a long time to render a decision. That's all stuff that will be in the information as well.
All right. Hold that thought. Former State Senator Keith Regeer, the chairman of the Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission. Another quick break here on the program. And then our next segment, we got much more time to talk and to take your phone calls. If you've got a quick question or comment, you want to jump in on the conversation, give us a ring right now, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Back right after this.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I think we got a caller ringing in right now. You can call as well, 406-294-0970. Let me jump back into it here with former State Senator Keith Regeer, the chairman of this commission. Yeah, going back to Jonathan Ambarian's report for the Montana Television Network, he noted in his coverage of this Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission how basically the Democrats, I believe, were unanimous, or at least close to unanimous. The Democrats very clearly did not want this type of a commission looking at this type of data. So very clearly, they did not want to see this type of transparency or accountability within our judicial system.
Yeah, I went back and I took a look at the votes on it, and I think there was one Democrat that voted for it through the whole legislative cycle, and there was one Republican that voted against it. So it was pretty much party line for this bill, as most of those judicial performance bills were. And again, getting back to real life businesses, schools, they all do evaluation, performance evaluations on their staff and let them know where they should improve and things that they're doing well as well. So this is nothing new that people out there in real life don't encounter.
I was going to say, you probably got one when you were a school teacher. You probably had an evaluation. When I was serving in the military, I would have an annual evaluation report and with a quarterly check-in, right? This is what everybody does, so shouldn't be that big of a deal. But yet it seems like the reason why this was, you know, why unfortunately, I think you're carrying this out in a nonpartisan manner, but the reason why there was partisan opposition to it was because it just, I mean, we see the frustration in our courts right now to where they'll complain on one hand that they're backlogged, that they have way too much work to get to all these criminal cases, but then they're taking this other nonsense, they're acting hyper-political or hyper-partisan as judges, and it's like, okay, guys, tell us what it is. Are you too busy and you have too much work on your hands, or are you just wasting too much time pushing your political agenda, right?
Yeah, right. Judges do run nonpartisan, but they should be impartial. You know, in the legislature, the majority party chairs all of the committees. That would be partisan, but they run their committees impartial, and that's the way the judges should be running their courts as well, and they should be focused on serving the public and not themselves. Aaron, before we go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I understand other states, and hopefully this ties into the point you were just wanting to make anyway, but I understand other states have already implemented something just like this, and so I'm interested in how Montana would compare to what is already being done in some other states. But first, feel free to weigh in with whatever comment you wanted to make.
Well, you're right there. Other states have done. This isn't groundbreaking on our part. Utah implemented this a few years ago, and there was a lot of success with that. Senate Bill 45 was kind of patterned after the system that they have going in Utah. I just want to point out to your listeners here that Senate Bill 45 only will evaluate district judges and Supreme Court justices. It will not go down to city judges and justice of the peace. Senate Bill 45 spells that out explicitly. In Montana, we have 51 district judges and we have 7 Supreme Court justices. Those district court judges serve a 6-year term and the Supreme Court justices serve an 8-year term. Senate Bill 45 will be doing an evaluation at the middle of a judge's term as well as at the end of their term. And Senate Bill 45 went into effect October 1st, and by the time the appointments were done, it was the end of October. So we've only had one meeting that was in November, and we're working now online trying to get together a job description for the executive director, which would be a full-time position, very important position for the success for this bill. And when you look at the midterm and end of term evaluations need to be done, it's not possible for us to get it done this election cycle. So coming up, the election's coming up this in 2026, we won't have any information for the public at that time. But going forward in the future, it should be very effective.
Interesting. I got a question from one of our listeners on the Montana Talks app. This is from Morgan in Helena. How can people volunteer to do judicial observation? Is there an info or an application on the website? Or is that all handled maybe by the actual commission members, which then would lead to, okay, how do you get on the commission if the commission isn't filled up right now?
You know, as I said, we are just starting with this. We're working on it. How we get volunteers, probably be through an application process would be my guess on the website that we're going to set up. And that's another thing. How do we get the information to the voters? Big thing will be a website. Originally, Senate Bill 45 had the evaluations were to be put in the voter information pamphlet that the Secretary of State sends out before elections, and the governor vetoed that out of the bill. I haven't been able to find out the rationale for taking that out of the voter information pamphlet, but that's one thing we can't do then. So the website's going to be really important, and for volunteers, I would say that will be posted on the website too. And the volunteer observers, that'll be a very important part of the evaluation of a judge. So good way for citizens to be involved in the process.
And then one of the other questions is, because kind of going back to your opening comments, the big intent here is it's the complaint everybody has every election year. It's like, I don't know anything about any of these judges. And then if you watch their freaking commercials, it's such a scam watching some of these commercials, because you get some left-wing, out-of-state, mega donor running ads in support of these far-left Supreme Court candidates, calling them conservatives, calling them tough on crime, and it's the exact opposite. The actual case is the exact opposite. And so if you can actually get metrics and actual information out there to people, they can make a more informed decision when casting their votes in these judicial elections. How will you get the information out to the voters when you have collected all this data and put out these reports?
Well, it's a good question. With not having the voter information pamphlet access for this information, main one that I see at this point is going to be the website. And then how do we get people directed to the website? We're going to have to get together and figure that out. Maybe some social media. Maybe we could do some mailers if we have the money. The legislature did designate $1 million over the biennium for this commission, but by the time we hire an executive director, by the time we hire a third-party vendor to do the surveys, that's going to eat up a lot of that. So we're going to have to be innovative in how to get the information to the voters. At this point, all I can say is a website is going to be probably the main source of information. But again, getting the website information to the public will be another thing we need to work on. Public service announcements would be another one. Maybe we could use Montana Talks to direct people to the website as well.
Great way to get the word out through our, and especially going local, straight direct to our local radio stations across Montana as well for the rest of the day. That's a great idea. A couple minutes left here as we chat with Keith Regeer, former state senator and the chairman of Montana's Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission. How has this worked so far? And what else, you know, in places like Utah where they have a structure like this already in place, how has it worked out thus far? And what else do you think folks across Montana need to know?
Well, as far as things I've heard out of Utah, we've had some of our JPEC commissioners have visited with people in Utah, and there was some instance of judges that needed to clean up their act and improve, and instead of running again, they decided not to run. So maybe that's one way of doing it, but feedback to the judge, I think, is important, especially with that mid-term in the middle of their term. They see that there's areas that are of a concern that they need to clean up their act before they run for office again. So, again, keep in mind, though, we are just getting started with this commission. It's going to take us a few months to get up and going, and it'll take before the next election cycle in 28 before we really get information out to the public.
All right. Well, Keith Regeer, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us, and Merry Christmas to you and yours if I don't see you again before Christmas.
Well, same to you. Merry Christmas to the Flints, and Merry Christmas, Montana.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see, coming up after the break, I think we've got a few minutes. If you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring, 406-294-0970. And then I've got a couple of guests that are going to join us with some made-in-Montana Christmas gift ideas. I know some of you are like me. You're like one of you're very bad Christmas shoppers, and you're always last minute Christmas shoppers. Well, the Friday before Christmas, it's getting last minute enough. Now's the time to get your made in Montana Christmas gifts. So we got some fun stuff to talk about coming up here after this as well. But first up, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Pet and Livestock Protection Act with bipartisan support. The bill would restore the 2020 delisting of gray wolves in the lower 48 and block future court challenges to the law. Tim Canterbury is a Colorado rancher and president of the Public Lands Council.
What a huge win this would be. You know, the science has been behind the removal of the gray wolf for decades now. Since 1975, when the gray wolf was listed, it has recovered over 300%. My goodness, what a relief to ranchers across the West to get this moved back to the states where we can have on-the-ground discussions as to how we deal with these wolves instead of coming out of Washington, D.C.
Now, animal rights groups criticized the bill, with the defenders of wildlife saying non-lethal deterrents can effectively keep wolves away from livestock and pets. Congress granted wolf management authority to Montana and Idaho in 2011, followed by Wyoming in 2012. The bill, in which was passed yesterday in the House of Representatives, would give the remaining states management over the gray wolf. That will now head to the U.S. Senate for consideration. Oh, and I almost forgot. Go Bobcats! I'm Lane Nordlund. Micro.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970 on this Freedom Friday. If you got something you want to share with our folks all across the great state of Montana. Let's jump right into it. We got Grandpa Lou calling in from Billings. Grandpa Lou, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
I just wanted to call in and wish you and your family and everyone a very Merry Christmas. And I was going to try to call in the previous hour, but I was on the phone with Santa Claus, and he wanted me to let you know that the Veterans Navigation Network down here in Billings is having their end-of-the-year Christmas party Saturday the 20th from 5 till 9. Come on down for a free buffet, get your... especially bring the kids. There's a photo booth with Santa Claus, and there's door prizes, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. And Santa Claus told me, too, that he says next time you talk to John Jackson that he's going to get a lump of coal and a Bible for Christmas.
Both two beautiful things, beautiful clean coal and a beautiful Bible for Christmas. Yeah. So after Christmas, this is going to be a ton of fun, Grandpa Lou. Well, the day after Christmas, we're going to have a lot. I'm going to be with you guys. You guys are stuck with me through Christmas Eve. I'm going to be here with a live show Christmas Eve. Our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, big thanks to him. He's producing a best of show for Christmas. But Friday, the day after Christmas Eve, Scott Aspenlider will be covering down on the show. And then for the days after that, leading up to New Year's, the Joker will be back in the house, so you can make sure he's heating things up with that coal that you shipped his way. Grandpa Lou, thanks for the phone call and for reminding us to remember everybody deployed right now as well, right now especially after the tragic loss of our two Iowa National Guard soldiers overseas in Syria. Remember, there are troops deployed all over the world, even as we speak, even in peacetime, alleged peacetime. And their families are back here, and so often their families get forgotten, and so often people downplay or minimize or don't understand how significant it is. I mean, some people freak out if their spouse is gone for 2 or 3 days. These people, their spouse is gone for 6 months, 9 months, or a whole year. And you freak out when your spouse is gone for 2 or 3 days, like it's the end of the world, and their spouse is gone for the whole year. Sorry, I'm going off on a little rant there. But I just say that to just say, think about, I'm not trying to minimize. Look, I know it's tough when you don't see your loved ones for a couple of days. I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm just, what I'm trying to do is say, think about how you feel for those couple of days, and then now think about how your neighbor feels for the rest of the year, or for the entire stretch of the holiday season. So big shout out to not only remember everybody deployed, but also to remember those families that are here without their loved ones right now this holiday season, and our Gold Star families as well. My goodness, we're so thankful to them for their sacrifice for this country. Grandpa Lou, thanks for the call. Thanks for the reminder. By the way, that Vet Connect holiday party for our listeners in the Billings area, 5 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night at Angry Hank's Brewery. So thanks for sharing that, Grandpa Lou. Okay, we've got a couple of guests, I think, now with us on the phone lines. Caden will start sending them my way so we can give you some last-minute Christmas gift ideas here. Because if you guys are like me, you're a horrible Christmas gift shopper, and everything is done at the last minute. Let's see. Yeah, we're transferring everybody into the system right now. Let me see. Hopefully, I've got them all there. Let's start first. I think we've got Ryan with the Yellowstone Gift Box Company. Ryan, are you there? Are you with us?
I am there. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing?
Young.
Yeah.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. I've seen some of your gift boxes, and man, this looks like the perfect Montana gift, especially if you're going to a Christmas party or even a New Year's party, and you just want to bring something to the house to the people that are hosting the party, or if you want something for your own house, or literally, how many of us have family members and you know, what do you buy them for a gift? I mean, really, right? You don't know what you could buy them for a gift. Well, this is perfect because you got all this made in Montana stuff all rolled into one basket.
Exactly. We got tons of different flavors. We have all sorts of Montana meats, chocolates, huckleberry products from jams, jellies, syrups, got hot sauces. It really is unique in that it's all high-quality product from across the state, small-batch makers making these, and everybody in your family, friends, can find something they're really going to enjoy out of our boxes. We also do corporate orders. We've been fulfilling those for the past few weeks, and so that's a good way to say thanks to vendors and clients and employees, too.
Yeah, I love going to, like, the Made in Montana trade show. Or yesterday we were talking agriculture. I was talking about being at the Farm Expo in Plentywood, and I got all these Made in Montana pulse crop products and things like that. So tell us about some of the specific Made in Montana items that you feature, some of the businesses and the brands that you feature in your Yellowstone gift boxes as well.
Sure. What we're really proud of is our ranch meats. They come from different ranches here. There's Lane Legacy, 4N Farms, Reminish, Ranch House Meats right out of Billings here. And then we do carry Shelley Market products out of Belgrade. Those are real Montana items from real ranches. So we're really proud of the meats. And then we have so many great products. We have Becky's Berries. We carry the full lineup from all the different jams, the Christmas jams, the huckleberry, chokecherry. She has glazes, barbecue sauce, and she just came out with two mustards, which are flying off the shelf. And then we carry, like, blind hot sauce out of Columbia Falls. He does a great job, and we get a lot of orders out of that. Different honeys, some stag honey out of Miles City. We got Headwaters Barbecue, chokecherry syrups from Huckleberry People and Huckleberry Haven with like chokecherry taffy, just a lot of unique flavors. We have some fun stuff like the Huckleberry Gummies, which are delicious, cordials, bonbons. It really doesn't stop, and we wish we could carry everyone's stuff from across the state, but we don't have a warehouse that big.
So. My goodness, yeah. So I'm looking at your website. So people can go buy a lot of these things individually, but you put together these various kind of themed gift baskets. You go to Yellowstone, give me the website just so I don't screw it up here, but basically the Yellowstone Gift Box Company, the best website people can go to. And then what are some of your favorite themed packages that you put together?
Well, so we try to give a wide range from the big focus is on the basis is meat and cheeses, and that pairs well with their mustards. And then we get into our sweet treats. So we have sweet and savory boxes, and that kind of ranges from we started $19.99, a great price point. You get meat, cheese out of that, and then we go up to our biggest box is the Yellowstone, and that's so many. We don't have enough time in our day to list all those. That's $199.99. And so those are pre-made ones that we designed of different price points. And it makes it easy to order online. You just get on there and we do the shipping. And we have them in stores too, but you can also buy individual products and just put together your own gift box and, go through and select from the different categories of each product we have. And you can just put those in your cart and buy that too. Or if you see a box you like, you can buy the box, and you can add products to that box. So,
is there a storefront location that people can go to, or if they go to your website right now, can they still get something shipped in time for Christmas, or at least for New Year's Eve or something like that?
Yep, we're kind of hitting the final bell here on orders, so you can order in the next couple of days, and we use priority mail, and it's most likely going to get there by Christmas, but I can't guarantee it at this point. And then we also deliver locally here in Billings. So if you call us up or put an order online, you can select delivery, and we can get it to people within the area. And then we have two awesome stores that we have our products in. You may be familiar with Maker's Market, the old IGA on State. There's tons of different makers there. It's not just us. We have great products. And if you're looking for great products all around from Montana makers, that's a great place to go. And then there's Casual Space on 24th and Broadwater, right next to Anytime Fitness. And she does very similar stuff. She has a lot of activities and events that go on there. But she carries our stuff and a lot of other Montana-made products, too.
Well, I love that. I love the meat and cheeses because if you're like me, like the sweet stuff's good for a little bit, but I would so much rather have like a good meat and cheese tray, especially with some Montana beef on it, than all the other sweet stuff in a heartbeat. But you know, hey, it's Christmas, so throw in a little sweet too while we're at it. All right, hey, let's see. We got to take a quick break here, Ryan, with the Yellowstone Gift Box Company. Great to catch up with you. So he mentioned some great Montana beef that you can get in some of these gift boxes. Well, we've got one of those companies on the phone lines with us right now as well. We're going to catch up with Katie Lane right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you guys are lucky that I am not a good singer, because I'm very tempted to do a spin-off version of Penny Lane by the Beatles, but it's instead of Penny Lane, it's Katie Lane is on the show, and we're talking beef here with Katie Lane. And I knew that name was familiar. I actually got a chance to run into Katie Lane with Lane Legacy Beef at the Gate Show, the Glendive Agri Trade Expo, and got to get some of the products as well. And so we're going to chat with her here in just a second. First, real quick, the website for the Yellowstone Gift Box Company, YellowstoneGiftBoxCompany.com, YellowstoneGiftBoxCompany.com. So I want to make sure we got that out there for our listeners. Katie Lane, Lane Legacy Beef, great to have you on the show, and it was so fun seeing your crew at the Gate Show in Glendive.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. What type of products do you provide that are good Christmas gifts or New Year's party gifts to bring to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a little history about our ranching legacy. We're a fourth-generation Montana ranching family. My husband, Bill, grew up in the Livingston area on a cattle ranch. Tom and Mary Lane raised six kids on that ranch, and his brother, Tom, runs it today with his family. Bill and I have been on off-ranch in eastern Montana, the Crescent Cross Ranch in Ismay, since 2002. We have raised our three kids out here, and they help us with the cattle when they're not busy with school and sports. And I'm actually a nurse. After about 20 years in healthcare and the COVID pandemic, I decided to switch gears a little bit. I saw the demand rising for healthy food. More and more people were cooking from home. And just in general, people want to know what is in their food and where their food comes from. I've also had so many people over the years asking to buy beef from us. So I decided to start a beef business. We have a certified all-natural Black Angus herd that is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished. These cattle have spent their entire life on our ranch, and I'm proud to say that our beef is completely processed in Montana at a USDA-inspected facility. We have a variety of cuts from several different steak options to brisket and chuck roasts. We have stew meat, short ribs, ground beef, organ meats, you name it, we've got it. And then we also started a smoked beef product line made from our grass-fed and grass-finished beef. We have beef snack sticks in a variety of flavors, as well as very tender beef jerky. And all of our products have the Made in Montana and Grown in Montana logo. Our smoked products are sold online on our website, lanelegacybeef.com, and they're located in about 100 retail locations around the state, including Town Pump gas stations, as well as Yellowstone Gift Box Company. Our frozen products are available in about 10 grocery stores around the state, including Town and Country here in Billings. And it's also available on the Yellowstone Valley Food Hub, the online farmers market platform that's available all year long in Billings. And then in the summer, you can see me online, you can see me selling our products at farmers markets in Miles City, Billings, and Livingston. And then we also got to do a fun project this fall. They have a Ranch of the Month program through Walker's Restaurant and the Marble Table, and they featured our beef last fall in October and November. So that was pretty exciting to showcase some of our products there.
Both a couple of great spots. You guys might be neighbors with my cousin Logan Ayers down there.
We just might be.
He's not too far from me. He mainly grew up in, you know, the Fallon area there on the family ranch, and then now they're closer to your neck of the woods now. But, and I should also give a shout-out, our friend Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus Ranch. I know it sounds like he's also included in some of these Yellowstone Gift Box Company things as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so people can go to remangus.com to check out what he's got on the table. LaneLegacyBeef.com. LaneLegacyBeef.com is your website. Can people order direct from you through you guys right now to get something on the table in time for Christmas or at least for New Year's? Okay, so they could go either through your website or through the Yellowstone Gift Box Company.
Yes, we don't ship any of the frozen products. That I do deliver about once a month along the I-90, I-94 corridor. But the smoke products, yes, we're shipping those all year long, every day.
Well, very cool. It was great to hear more about your family ranch history all across the state of Montana, and it was also great. You know, one of our previous phone callers, likes to remind folks on Friday, Red Friday, remember everybody deployed. I can personally attest. When I was overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, the best thing you can put in a care package for the troops is beef jerky or some beef products like that. So even after the holidays, you can still purchase some Montana beef products and get it out there to the troops. Katie Lane, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us. Maybe we'll see you at the Gate Show and Glen Dive later in the spring.
Sounds great. Happy holidays.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and yours as well. In fact, I was just looking at the Gate Show website the other day. I think they're doing the Glen Dive Agri Trade Expo a little later this coming year. Usually it's always like right in the middle of February, which makes for sporty driving. I think they're going to do it, I think later in March is, I think, when it's going to take place this coming spring. So that's always a good one to be at. And then we got a good excuse to go see our friends, the Sturlogs and family there in Glen Dive as well. Great folks. And which is another reminder, just a big shout out to all of our radio affiliates as we head into the Christmas season. They're going to be working hard, keeping things up and running for you, promoting your local businesses and getting your local information on the airwaves throughout the season.
Progressive.